Good morning. You know, there was a young mother out on a walk with her four-year-old daughter one day, and they're walking along the beach and having a good time together, and then as a lot of four-year-olds do, she found an object on the ground and picked it up. And the first thing she started to do was put it into her mouth. And of course, mom said, "Don't do that. Don't put that in your mouth." And the little daughter asked, "Well, why?" "Well, because it's dirty. It's been lying around on the ground and you don't know where it's been." And the daughter looked up at her mother and her face began to beam. And she said, "Wow, you're so smart. How do you know all these things?" And mom was trying to think of something to say, and she said, "Well, all mommies know that. It's on the mommy test. If you don't pass the mommy test, then they won't let you be a mommy." And so the little girl walked along with her mother in silence for a little while and began to ponder this, and then a light bulb went on in her head. She goes, "Oh, I get it. If you don't pass the mommy test, then you have to be the daddy." Okay. You know, there are some things that mothers do very well that fathers just don't seem to be quite as suited for. And we're blessed with mothers. And this is a day, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. A day that would set aside to honor mothers and the ideal of motherhood. And it's not just because it's a nice thing to do, but because it's also fundamental to our faith. Honor your father and your mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments that were given at the very beginning. Jesus defended in Matthew chapter 15, he defended the command to honor our fathers and our mothers. And Paul reaffirmed it in Ephesians chapter 6 and said there's a promise with it. If you do this, then you'll live long on the earth. You know, it's been said that if dad is the head of the family, then mothers are the heart of the home. And there's a lot of passages that people will go to on a day like today. And of course, one of the most common ones is Proverbs chapter 31. Well, this morning I want to look at the other Proverbs 31 woman. So take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. And usually most people will start down about the 10th verse, but I want to start at the very beginning of the chapter. And there's a woman that's mentioned here. And this morning I want to spend some time looking not just at a lesson about mothers, but look at a lesson from a mother. And it made such an impact on this man that he shares it here at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 31. Notice how it begins. It begins with the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. Now, I don't know if you have the word oracle there or not, but it's interesting that that word, that Hebrew word, masah, can mean burden, load, cargo, a carrying of something. And it's often used of the responsibility of carrying sacred vessels. And so Lemuel, this king, is saying his mother had a burden and she passed it on to him, and now he's passing it on as well. What is a mother's burden for her children? And that's what we're going to be looking at as we read this morning. So let's continue reading. She said, "What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted." And so the first thing, the burden that mother had was, son, don't give yourself to things. Don't give away your strength to things that are going to wind up destroying you. And she specifically mentions two things in this text: women and booze to her son. And don't give your strength to ungodly women is basically what she's saying here. And I know mothers lots of times, and fathers, we worry about our daughters, and mothers worry about their sons. You know, we think of our sons as being strong, and sons as growing up and being tough and growing up to be a man, but mothers, we worry about our sons being destroyed by an ungodly woman. And so, think about in Scripture, how many men had been manipulated and destroyed by ungodly women. You may think of Samson, and of course, who was that woman that he was allowed himself to be manipulated by? Delilah. Everybody, even if you know nothing about the Bible, everybody knows the name Samson and Delilah, and he became famous for that. Or what about Solomon? And all of those pagan wives that he had. And not only did that affect him and draw him away from God, but it affected his kingdom, those people that he was supposed to be leading. And it affected them for hundreds of years. And so a mother is giving very wise advice to her son who is a king. Don't let yourself be taken in by that. And then she spends the rest of the chapter, down at beginning with verse 10, describing the qualities of a good, honorable, and godly woman. And she also says, it's not for kings to desire strong drink. And we probably could include anything in that that would wind up clouding your senses. It's not for kings. It's not for those who have important responsibilities. It's not for those who are in a position where people are depending on you and you need to have your senses about you and you need to have you need to be clear-headed so that people can depend on you and you can fulfill your responsibilities faithfully. So who is wine and strong drink for? She says it's for those who are in misery. People whose life is bitter. People who are dying, and nowadays we have things like morphine that kind of perform those same sorts of functions. It helps to ease their suffering. But if a king who has responsibilities is drunk and he's buzzed, how in the world is he going to be able to fulfill his responsibilities when all of these people are depending on him to be at his best? And so those are two dangers that Lemuel's mother mentions. And I know mothers, there are a lot of other dangers that we worry about, that you worry about with your children, right? Sometimes mothers warn their children about don't going out and playing in the street when they're little, right? Don't stay away from dangerous places. Don't talk to strangers. Don't eat junk food. Mothers oftentimes want to pack healthy food in their lunches, right? Stay away from the ungodly crowd. Be careful, choose your friends and make sure they're good godly friends and don't let them choose you. Spend time with God in prayer and the list goes on and on and on. You know, I think of my own mother and some of the things that she has been passionate about. You know, the most recent thing has been kind of a health kick. And I remember when I was growing up, we used to eat fried rice on a regular basis for dinner. I love fried rice, and she always put bacon into it. And I still make it that way even today. I mean, wasn't very healthy. We didn't think about it back then. I mean, it was loaded with ground beef and bacon and fried, and boy, it was so tasty. And the last couple of years, she's made me things like boiled stir fry. I guess you should call that stir boil, right? Just not quite the same thing. And she explained to me one time, I said, Mom, why don't you do the things that you used to do? She said, you need to take care of yourself, son. You're not as young as you used to be. She said, how in the world are you going to be able to take care of other people if you don't also take care of yourself? And she told me, you know, when I see you not taking care of yourself, when I see you eating junky things, she said, it actually hurts my heart when I see that. And it's something that she really cares about. And so she even now today, and I'm, how old am I? I'm 40, how old am I, dear? 40, 48, right? Is that right? Even as a 48-year-old man, she's still looking out after her son. And she probably always will. Mothers never stop looking out after the kids. It is her burden. And I can tell it was a burden for my mother. And looking out after her kids. And notice Lemuel's mother. This is her son, the son of my womb, and he always will be the son of my womb, is what she's saying. So a mother's lesson here is stay away from the things that are harmful. Stay away from the things that will destroy you. Whether it's avoiding the wrong crowd, whether it's avoiding the ungodly woman or the ungodly man for daughters, whether it's allowing that hostile atheist professor to try and shake your faith and twisting your mind, or whether it's abusing some sort of substance, mothers want the very best for their children. And if so, then they can be at their very best and be faithful in their responsibility. Let's go ahead and continue reading, beginning with verse 8. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. As a king, Lemuel had an awesome responsibility. There were many, many people that depended on him in his role as a leader and as a ruler. And so his mother is giving him advice. And notice the things she does not say. She doesn't tell her son Lemuel, make sure you're always dressed at your best. Make sure you look regal. Make sure you look like the king that you are. Because if you are, the people are going to wind up respecting you and looking up to you more. Okay, she could have said that, but she didn't say that. She didn't say, rule strongly and firmly. Let people know who's in charge. Keep order in your realm. That would have been an important thing for a king to know as well, right? But she didn't say that either. She didn't say, make sure you treat your commanders very well and reward them for doing a good job. Those men lay down your life for you. You send them off to war. Make sure you treat them well. She could have said that, and that would have been an important thing too, but she didn't say that either. She could have told him to make sure you get out there and you lead with courage. Make sure people see you out in the front leading them. She didn't say anything like that. Instead, she says something completely different. It's not about administrative skill. Administrative skill is not what makes a leader a great leader, but passion for people does. She tells him to give a voice to those who do not have a voice. Don't just defer to the strong, to the powerful, to the wealthy, to the rich. Don't just defer to them, but give a voice to those who do not have a voice. Defend the rights of those who are afflicted and needy. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. This is what it means to be a righteous and just ruler. And this is what will make him not just an okay ruler, but a great ruler, a great king. Now I know we're not kings, but we do have responsibilities, right? And we do have people that depend on us. And matter of fact, as I was thinking about these instructions to a king, it dawned on me as I reflected on it that, you know, these sorts of instructions don't apply just to kings. They apply to everyone, right? Look at the words of the prophets here. Wash yourself. Now, this was a call to repentance, not just for kings, but to all the people. And the prophet says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan and plead for the widow. This is directed to all the people. What about this one? The prophet says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Not to offer thousands of sacrifices, but what the Lord requires is to do justice, to love kindness. And by the way, that word there is a word that means covenant love, okay? To love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Same sentiment in Hosea chapter 6. God says, I delight in loyalty or covenant love. Your Bible may say steadfast love or something like that, rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Now, we probably have heard this voice, this verse before, right? We've heard this quoted. You remember when Jesus was meeting with all of these tax collectors and sinners? And I find it interesting that nobody seemed, tax collectors and sinners who might have been intimidated by the religious people of the land, didn't seem to be intimidated by Jesus. They were drawn to him. And so they came and they surrounded him, and he actually sat down, rubbed shoulders with them, ate with them, fellowshiped with them. You know, I don't know if he played cards with him or did things like that or not, but I mean, they were comfortable around him. And people began to complain, why in the world is he associating with the likes of those kind of people? And Jesus quotes this verse. Go and learn what this means. I delight in covenant love, steadfast love, rather than sacrifice. Sometimes Bibles say compassion. I delight in compassion or mercy rather than sacrifice. And so he surrounded himself. You know, the effect that it might have had on those religious. We've seen the pictures, right? Maybe it didn't have the same effect on us wearing the religious or the clothing of the day. But if it were today, it might look something like this. And religious people might say the same thing. Why is he associating with people like that? Because God delights in compassion rather than sacrifice. It's not about the show that you put on when you show religious devotion, but it's about passion and kindness and compassion for people. In fact, Jesus quotes this passage again one day when his disciples were passing through the grain fields. I guess they didn't pack a lunch because they got hungry. And the only thing that was there to eat, I mean, there's wheat growing right there, and so they picked a little bit. They did the thing that you do with wheat, got rid of the husk, and they had themselves something to eat. And the religious elite, the Pharisees, the people that know the law said, hey, why in the world are your disciples doing what is not lawful? Because, you know, if you pick wheat, that's work, right? And you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And they're doing this on the Sabbath day. And so why are they doing what's not lawful? And Jesus said, if you understood this passage, I desire compassion over sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. God is a God of compassion, God of justice, a God of kindness, a God of love. And when people are hungry, guess what? God cares about them. When people's lives are a wreck, God cares about them. Guess what? When people's lives aren't a wreck, God cares about them. God loves all of us. All people. All people have been created in the image of God, and therefore are worthy of compassion, or worthy of dignity, have inherent dignity because we've been created in the image of God. And if we know God, then we're going to love people in the way that God does. You may have heard the story before about the boy that was out one day. It was cold, didn't have any shoes. And he was standing out inside of a store, and there's a little hot air register there, and he was standing there trying to keep his feet warm. And a woman comes up, and she's about to go into the store and sees this boy in raggedy clothes and no shoes, and she invited the boy to go into the store with him. And inside, she bought him a brand new pair of shoes, two pairs of thick wool socks, a scarf, and a coat. And now the boy didn't have to be cold anymore. And as he was getting fitted with all of this, he looked up at the woman and he asked her, "Lady, are you God's wife?" Now she was kind of taken aback. How do I answer? No, I'm not God's wife, but I'm just one of his children. And the boy looked up at her and said, "Well, you know, I figured you must be some relation to him." Even the child could see our Lord in her by the compassion that she had for him. And that's the very thing that Lemuel's mother is telling her son. This is the type of man that you need to be. We reflect the heart of God to people when we show compassion, when we show them that God cares for them. So whether we take steps individually like this lady did, or get involved in something like the food pantry or the homeless shelter, or just lend a listening ear to someone who needs to vent, whatever it is, we show the heart of God. Now, I don't know how many of you, I know several of you I see have been involved in the shelter, and I don't know if it's changed you in the same way that it's changed me. I didn't realize that we had a homeless problem here in Leavenworth. But now when I'm walking around downtown, when I'm just driving downtown, guess who I notice who I didn't notice before? I think they've always been there and I just didn't notice them before. But I see them now. And I realize, you know, maybe this is the way Jesus sees. He really sees. And if we have the heart of God, then we really see as well. This is part of what it means to be faithful in our responsibilities. And then Lemuel's mother goes on, basically telling her son to recognize the value of an honorable spouse. In fact, this occupies a full, two-thirds of the chapter. This is what an honorable wife is going to look like for you, son. An excellent wife, she says in verse 10, who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And then she continues to go on. You get the idea that mom wanted her child to find a good spouse? Oh, you better believe she did. A godly mother recognizes the value of a good spouse. She recognizes that you can either be manipulated for evil or motivated for good. She recognizes that you can either be destroyed or built up. She recognizes that you can have a bad spouse or an excellent one. And as I went down and I read through the rest of the chapter, I just kind of did a quick survey. And here are some of the qualities that Mom mentions in this passage. A good spouse is one who's trustworthy, one who does good for her spouse, provides for the family, doesn't complain about it, does it willingly, with delight, as she says. A good spouse is one who never gives up. A good spouse is one who provides strength, doesn't tear down, but builds up the family. A good spouse is one who has a positive outlook. She smiles at the future. And so the children grow up feeling safe and think like, well, anything's possible. She renders compassionate service for those who are in need. She's fearless and protective of her family. She gives a good name for her family. She passes on wisdom. She puts her family first above everything else. And she is a blessing to the family. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. You know, choosing a godly spouse is one of the most important decisions you'll make in life after accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord. It was so important that Abraham's parents sent one of their servants on a quest to find one for their son. Remember that? There's nobody suitable around here, Isaac's mother said. Around here for our son, where are we going to find one? Let's go back home. We know there's some good people there. It was so important they sent a servant on a quest to find a good spouse, a good wife for their son Isaac. And so young people, listen to your mother. Listen to your mother and the wisdom they have to impart. So there you have it. Oh, there was one more. Can't leave this one out. A good, godly spouse, husband or wife, is one who fears the Lord. Lessons from a mother on Mother's Day. And some of you may be thinking of some of the lessons that your own mother taught you. Some of those memorable things that you carry with you even to this day. I think it's significant that King Lemuel, even as a king, still remember those valuable lessons that his mother taught him so long ago. So what are you going to do for Mom on Mother's Day? What are you going to do for Mom tomorrow? What are you going to do for Mom every day? You know, every time I try to go out and find a gift for my mom, she always said something like, oh, don't bother buying something for me. Just do well. That'd be the best gift that you can give me. Isn't that true, Mom? Isn't that true, mothers? Just do well. That would make me more happy than anything else. Do well in life. Love God. Love people. That's the best gift of all. And it begins with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord. Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for your sins and be raised from the grave so that he can reunite you with God. The only thing that stands between you and God is your sin. and if you're ready to accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior, you can come up and be baptized. We're going to go ahead and sing a song. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.